This is Stuart Moxham of The Gist, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. This morning, we will hear from Blair Horner from NYPIRG all about this year's elections and what they mean and the impact in the state legislature next year. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin's song. Then it's time for the WGXC local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air. Waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Turn out for a sunset moonwalk at the Greenport Conservation Area on Wednesday, November 16th at 4:30 p.m. Columbia Land Conservancy leads the moonwalk over the trails of the Greenport Conservation Area, and participants will look up at the moon and constellations and discuss nocturnal adaptations by animals. Bring water, weather-appropriate clothing, a flashlight or headlamp. And it's recommended for children ages 5 through 12, but all are welcome at the Sunset Moonwalk at the Greenport Conservation Area on Wednesday, November 16th. Go to the WGXC community calendar for more information at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Green and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
No Republicans voted for the American Rescue Plan Act when it passed in Congress, but the Republicans who run the Greene County Legislature sure love touting the local benefits of the bill signed by President Joe Biden. Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Sioux that Greene County is now using funds from the American Rescue Plan Act to add broadband service in mountaintop locations in the towns of Catskill, Durham, Windham, Ashland, and Prattsville. Mid-Hudson Cable, Margaretville Telephone Company, and Charter Communications are getting $2.2 million to provide service in areas they have so far deemed unprofitable. Patrick Linger, chair of the Greene County Legislature, said, and I quote, Greene County is able to make this important infrastructure investment with a portion of the federal funding it received under the American Rescue Plan Act, end quote. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "The availability of ARPA funds from the federal government makes this the perfect opportunity to invest in our infrastructure," end quote. About 1,400 addresses will get broadband service along 112 miles of roadway sometime in 2023 or 2024. And you can read the full story in Porcupine Sioux.
Columbia County Board of Elections Democratic Commissioner Ken Dow has notified the County Democratic Committee that he will not seek reappointment when his current term ends at the end of this year. The County Committee will need to select his replacement and provide a letter of introduction for that person to the Board of Supervisors by December 1st. The role of commissioner is a two-year appointment that will begin in January 2023. The position pays $67,636 annually, with an increase anticipated in 2023. Dow was chosen to serve as an election commissioner in January 2020, replacing Virginia Martin, after the Board of Supervisors declined to reappoint her. Democrats picked Dow over then-Hudson business owner Mark Young, election specialist Aaron Stamper, and Claremont Democratic Committee Secretary Penny Panalus. Dow served previously as the County Democratic Election Commissioner from 2005 to 2008.
Mark Weiner at Syracuse.com reports that Republican Brandon Williams will win the 22nd congressional district election in central New York over Democrat Francis Canole. This is the last congressional election to be called in New York, and it means it is very likely that Republicans will control the House of Representatives when all the national election results are final. New York voters can partially take credit for turning over power to the Republicans, with two Hudson Valley-based congressional seats flipping from Democrat to Republicans. Democrat Josh Riley lost to Mark Molinaro in the 19th congressional district, flipping a district previously represented by Democrat Antonio Delgado. And Sean Maloney, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee chair, lost to Republican Assemblyperson Mike Lawler in the 17th congressional district. Republican Representative John Katko retired from his 22nd district seat after voting to impeach former President Donald Trump and having little chance to win a primary election. New York's congressional delegation will now be 15 Democrats and 11 Republicans, the most seats the Republicans have held since 2001-2003. Read more about this story at Syracuse.com.
Sam Rawdins reports for the Albany Business Journal that My Forest Foods My Bacon has been named one of Time's best inventions of 2022. My Bacon is the first ever whole-cut mycelium-based bacon made of nearly 100% mushroom root. My Forest Foods grow mycelium, the root-like structures of mushrooms, to create vegan bacon. The Green Island startup recently opened 120,000 square feet of new infrastructure, allowing it to grow 3 million pounds of mycelium and produce 1 million pounds of My Bacon. My Forest co-founder and CEO Eben Bayer grew up on a Vermont family farm raising and slaughtering pigs, but his startup grows and harvests mycelium a bit faster than animals. It takes just 12 days for 100-foot-long slabs of mushroom to be ready. The company intends to open a new Saratoga Springs processing facility in the spring. The Time List features 200 innovations the magazine says are changing how we live. The My Bacon product appears on the list under food and drink. Other products highlighted in that section include meat crispy cutlet, chicken cutlet, another mycelium-based meat alternative, and Beyond Steak, meatless steak tips made by Beyond Meat. Read more about the story at the Albany Business Journal.
The Greene County Department of Health reported another local COVID-19 death on November 14th. That makes 140 dead in Greene County from COVID-19 since the pandemic began. A week ago on November 7th, Greene County reported two more COVID-19 deaths. While the Greene County Department of Health social media page reports these deaths, the same page has not had any updates about vaccines, which can prevent COVID-19 deaths, since October 23rd.
Rick Carlin reports for the Times-Union that the State Office of General Services has scheduled for later in the month a two-day auction of 1,300 decommissioned COVID response items. Items range from ambulances and trucks and portable power generators to phones, construction materials, and air handling units. Many of the items were supplied by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, while others were decommissioned equipment that state offices had on hand. Some of the items are from decommissioned facilities, including generators, patient pod rooms, bathroom trailers, and showers. State officials say the state has sufficient medical and other equipment in case there is another COVID variant or new public health emergency. The auctions will be held at the New York State Preparedness Training Center in Oriskania, Oneida County, on November 29th and 30th. Bidders are able to participate in the auctions in person or by proxy in Oriskany and online at perryauctions.com. Also being auctioned are HVAC systems and supplies, oxygen supply systems, electrical systems and components, lumber, plumbing fixtures and fittings, fire detection and prevention system components, scaffolding and shipping containers. In addition to the dates the auctions are taking place, the site will be open for buyers to pick up their items between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday immediately following the auctions. All items must be removed from the auction site by December 5th. Additional information, including the auction catalog, information on specific items, terms of sale, and more, are available at the Office of General Services at state.surplus@ogs.ny.gov. Or call 518-457-6335. Read the full story in the Times Union.
New York's major hunting season begins November 19th. In the southern zone, which includes the Catskills, deer and bear hunting seasons continues through December 11th. After that, late bow hunting and muzzle loading season run from December 12th through December 20th and again from December 26th through January 1st. Commissioner Basil Sago said, and I quote, "With most public land across New York State open to multiple forms of recreation, from hiking and nature photography to hunting and trapping, visitors should be cautious, courteous, and responsible when sharing the woods to ensure a safe and enjoyable experience. DEC encourages all visitors to review the safety guidelines for hunting and recreating in the woods before going afield and respectfully sharing the outdoors with others," end quote. While hunters using a firearm must wear hunter orange or pink, the DEC suggests those colors might be good for family dogs, too. See the New York Department of Environmental Conservation website for more information about hunting season in New York.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, the winter weather advisory remains in effect until 10 a.m. There will be rain, snow, and sleet, becoming all rain after 11 a.m. with a temperature high near 41 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 29 degrees. And on Thursday, a slight chance of showers after 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 42 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 25 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Wednesday, November 16th, tune in to all sorts of live WGXC programs from all over the area, including at 10 a.m., Matthew O'Neill hosts Panther Mountain Sound live from Accra. It's all about indigenous music and more. Then at 10 a.m., Mayuka Fujino is live in Accra with the Mirage Station Show. At noon, after the local news, we go live to Catskill with Spike Priggen, broadcasting from Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill. 4 p.m., the WGXC afternoon show is live in Accra. We'll talk with Brendan Fay, the director of a new movie that's coming out in the Catskill Community Theater on November 18th. 7 p.m., we go live to New York City with the Hacker Quarterly 2600 show Off the Hook that's all about technology. At 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanovskaya. 10 p.m., it's the Snack Point Charlie show from Jeff Economy is live from Ulster County. And at midnight, we stay live from Ulster County with Go Go Kitty. Simulcast live from Radio Kingston in Ulster County with Peter Aaron on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out for a sunset moonwalk at the Greenport Conservation Area on Wednesday, November 16th at 4:30 p.m. Columbia Land Conservancy leads the moonwalk over the trails of the Greenport Conservation Area, and participants will look up at the moon and constellations and discuss nocturnal adaptations by animals. Bring water, weather-appropriate clothing, a flashlight or headlamp. And it's recommended for children ages 5 through 12, but all are welcome at the Sunset Moonwalk at the Greenport Conservation Area on Wednesday, November 16th. Go to the WGXC community calendar for more information at wgxc.org.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host its morning shows, the hands-on community radio magazine show. Our hosts love having an audience, are capable of multitasking, and are slow to panic. No radio experience is necessary. We're looking for diamonds in the rough. Before taking to the airwaves, you will be thoroughly trained and then set free to create compelling radio for listeners throughout Greene and Columbia counties. For more information, contact Lynn at WGXC.org or simply send an email inquiry to apply at WGXC.org. WGXC needs you.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, November 16th. Local early morning temperatures range from 30 degrees in Durham to 36 in Copaic. Regional average soil temperature is 44 degrees. Snow totals from yesterday are 1.8 inches in Catskill, same in Red Hook, 2 inches in Taconic, and 2.4 inches in Austerlitz. Some leftover rain lingers this morning. Watch for freezing rain in some spots. By noon, it should have cleared out, and we'll see a high of 42 at 2 p.m. Overnight, temperatures dip to 28 degrees. Then, tomorrow is looking dry with a high of 41 degrees happening at noon. 26 degrees overnight takes us into a mostly cloudy Friday with a high again of 41 degrees. Saturday starts in the 20s and hits a high of only 38 degrees. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:01 a.m., high tide at 8:50 a.m., low tide again at 2:50 p.m., and high tide once again at 8:39 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 51 degrees, and the tide strength will be very low. Sunset today will be at 4:21 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:43 a.m. Looking way up, we see the Artemis 1 rocket has finally left Earth and is on its way to the moon. We also have the Leonid meteor shower picking up and expected to peak early morning Saturday. Solar wind speed is currently 349.9 kilometers per second at a paltry 2.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 30 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 0.6. Quiet. You've probably never heard a decimal point before because NASA has upgraded its systems to a tighter degree. The current sunspot number is 69, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Let's begin.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't worry if you can't follow everything that is said. Now repeat.
Couldn't live.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We chose sanity over chaos. And we chose unity over division. We chose a better Arizona. And we chose democracy.
Democrat Katie Hobbs is projected to win the race for Arizona governor, defeating her Republican opponent, former TV news anchor Carrie Lake. The high-profile race was marked by sharp rhetoric by Lake, an election denier, and protesters contesting the results, which became more clear a week after Election Day as vote totals from the state's most populous counties came in. Hobbs is the state's first Democratic governor since Janet Napolitano in 2006. In celebrating his party's midterm win to retain a narrow majority in the U.S. Senate, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Democrats are going to continue working across party lines, but will stay true to the party's principles.
What happened last night with Kerry Lake, that's proof positive that this MAGA stuff doesn't work. She was a great communicator. She still lost in a purple state.
Schumer added he hopes Republicans and Democrats can continue to work in a bipartisan way and make compromises when possible. Despite several races across the country still waiting to be called, it's likely the GOP will gain control of the House. For Democrats, the lame duck session may be their last chance to use their unified control of Congress between now and when the new Congress is seated in January. One of the big ticket items on the table is the Same-Sex Marriage Act, noted by Washington Senator Patty Murray.
After Roe v. Wade was overturned, I have heard from constituents back home who are concerned and worried about Justice Thomas's suggestion that their right to marry who they love could be ripped away.
The House Republican Conference voted to re-elect House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy its leader, which puts McCarthy in line to be Speaker of the House if the GOP is able to secure the majority. Meanwhile, Senate Republicans will be holding leadership elections today. After failing to help secure a majority in the Senate, Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell is being challenged in the race for Minority Leader by Florida's Rick Scott.
I think the outcome is pretty clear. I want to repeat again. I have the votes. I will be elected. The only issue is whether we do it sooner or later.
The election results, which dashed hopes of a Republican red wave, were also discussed at the Republican Governors Association conference. The group talked about the appeal of party policies and messaging. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said inspiration from GOP leaders was lacking and stressed more needs to be done to reach younger voters.
We're not inspiring that generation right now. What still moved people was your opponent was worse than you. They didn't necessarily like us. Their opponent was worse.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our HRS indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Hey, how are you?
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislatures in several states worked diligently since the 2020 election to make it harder to vote. Citizens in some of those states, like Michigan, have had enough and passed a citizens' initiative to guarantee the freedom to vote. Promote the Vote 2022 collected almost 670,000 signatures to get it on the midterm ballot. It overcame lawsuits and an attempt to block it in the Michigan Board of Canvassers, and Promote the Vote prevailed on November 8th by a 60% to 40% margin. Promote the Vote requires 9 days of early voting, increasing access for working, disabled, and transportation-challenged voters. It recognizes the fundamental right to vote without harassment and guarantees that Michigan voters serving in the military will have their ballot counted if postmarked by Election Day. Voters can provide a photo ID or, if necessary, a signed affidavit in order to vote. It provides voters with a single application to vote absentee in all elections and requires prepaid postage for absentee ballots and a secure drop box for every 15,000 voters. To address concerns for post-election manipulation of results, it stipulates that only election officials may conduct post-election audits and that canvassing boards can only certify elections on the number of votes cast. More tomorrow on another winning citizens initiative in Nevada. We have links to articles on the initiative and Michigan groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
The vegetable.
on the love seat. So I keep saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. Don't believe everything that you breathe. You get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve. So shave your face with some mace in the dark. Saving all your food stamps and burning down the trailer park. Yo, cut it. So the other in the bag with the rerun shows and the cocaine nose job, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. But get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. So
people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons, a number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, to bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If
you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPIRG, New York Public Interest Research Group. Last Tuesday, of course, was Election Day, and kind of surprising results, not so much in New York, but particularly nationwide, but there were some interesting results in New York. So we've asked Blair to join us to just sort of give us an overview of those results and what it may mean for the upcoming legislative session. So Blair, what were some of your quick reactions to what happened on Tuesday, particularly in New York State and anything of interest in the Capital District?
Well, you know, in many ways, it's a status quo election. All of the Democrats that ran statewide in New York won. Both houses of the legislature are controlled by Democrats with overwhelming majorities, and they will be again next year by overwhelming majorities. I mean, where there's interesting stuff is when you sort of get down to the district level, more interesting stuff. The congressional Democrats, a bunch of seats that they were in, they flipped to Republican, and it may in fact be the margin that gives the Republicans control of the House of Representatives. So that's not status quo. But if they do, it'll be with a narrow majority, which is the status quo for the Democrats. The Democrats took a beating in the suburbs, as far as I could tell, across the state, but certainly in the Hudson Valley and on Long Island. There's something happening in Brooklyn, which, you know, is unusual because there were some Democratic assembly members who got beat there. So all in all, I mean, from the 30,000 foot level, Democrats run a blue state, overwhelming majorities in both houses. That looks pretty much like it does this year. But when you get down into some of the districts, primarily on the congressional side, a combination of something going on with the Democrats and their inability, apparently, to run campaigns in the suburbs, and to some extent, the lines that were drawn during the redistricting process may, in fact, cost the Democrats control of the House of Representatives, which has national implications.
Well, as somebody who lived, you know, in Brooklyn for the last 7 years, the southern part of Brooklyn is actually more conservative, and the Democrats have been more conservative. And in fact, they have been really some of the main opponents to the issue of divesting the state pension funds from fossil fuels. And particularly Peter Abate is one of the members who lost down in southern Brooklyn. He was chair of the Assembly Pensions Committee. And for whatever reason, a lot of public employees live in southern Brooklyn. And so he's sort of responsive to it. But you mentioned the redistricting issue, which is likely, in fact, as you point out, to cost the Democrats control of the House at the federal level. Or, you know, granted, the legislative Democrats may have been a little bit greedy and sort of blew the redistricting process, which threw it into the courts, and they overturned the lines. But do you expect any reforms or changes to come after this debacle?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Mark, that the lines that the map makers drew this year were drawn initially by the legislature. New York, in a constitutional amendment in 2014, advanced by then Governor Cuomo, created this so-called Independent Redistricting Commission, which was really equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans. Of course, the whole system collapsed. So the legislature drew the lines. The courts, sort of interestingly, to weigh in, said that the process by which the legislature made that decision was unconstitutional, that this commission had to advance two sets of maps before the legislature could draw their own maps, and that commission only advanced one. And so on a procedural level, the court overruled the lines and then also said that they were greedy and they drew the lines in a way that was unconstitutionally gerrymandered and appointed their own special master, a guy named Service from Pennsylvania, and he drew the lines. And so in New York, when the current members of the House of Representatives, there's 27 seats from New York, 19 of them are Democrats. When the New York loses a seat because it's a census, so now we have 26. When the Democrats drew the lines earlier this year, it looked like they could take 22 out of 26, but instead they have 15 out of 26. And so that flip could make all the difference. And so will they do anything about it? I mean, they'd have to amend the Constitution. I'm sure they want to. You know, whether or not they're willing to sort of stick their heads up out of the foxhole and do it, I don't know. Because our argument would be we want an independent redistricting commission, not the legislature. And Democrats argue back, not without some merit, that when the blue states are the only ones that do redistricting reform, for them, it's unilateral disarmament. And New York and California had this year an independent process. California has a commission. New York had the courts. But a lot of red states didn't make that. So, you know, that's the partisan argument. Although we think from a good governance perspective, the United States of America should have the lines drawn by nonpartisan entities, not by political, by the political parties. So I don't know what will happen, though, this year. I'd be surprised if they did anything real.
Now, one of the things that did change a bit or will change is that both chairs of the environmental committees in the Senate, he decided to leave after getting killed in his race last year for district attorney down in Nassau County, which sparked part of the backlash against criminal justice reform. And then Steve Englebright, chair of the Assembly Environmental Committee, lost his race by about 1,000 votes. What does that mean for environmental and climate issues moving forward with new leadership being needed in both houses on the environment?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, you're right. The guy in the Senate left. He left early from his seat because he got shellacked running for Nassau County District Attorney. And in fact, Democrats took a beating last year in Nassau County. So that opened up that seat and the Republicans took it. On the Assembly side, the long-term ENCON chair looks like he's going to lose. I don't think he's conceded yet, Mark. Having two new ENCON chairs could have, you know, fundamental impact on policy, environmental policymaking. Now, what, you know, what that looks like, of course, will be determined by who those people are. Senator Kaminsky, who was the Senate ENCON chair, you know, has his own worldview about what the issues are, as did Assemblymember Stephen Englebright. Whoever replaces them will have a big say on what the environmental policy looks like, but it will be different. It will certainly be different than it is now. Englebright had essentially veto over environmental legislation in his house, and with him gone and replaced by a new person, that I presume that that person will not have, assuming that Englebright ultimately does lose, I assume that his replacement will not have the same authority within the conference when it comes to environmental issues. So it could be a big deal. Now, that being said, Democrats, I assume they're going to be looking at how can we do better in the suburbs. Environmental issues is one area where they could actually do things. The Bond Act on the ballot this year, there was a vote on the Environmental Bond Act that had the biggest margin of victory for any statewide race, and it ran and it passed in passed in almost 49 of the 62 counties in New York State approved the Bond Act. And so environmental issues have a lot of public support, so much so that people were willing to pay more to make it happen. And so I think that that could strengthen in both houses the interest in taking on environmental issues if Democrats are interested in trying to cobble together some sort of suburban strategy that gets them some votes.
Well, we only have about a minute left. One of the things I saw before the election was that among Democrats, climate and abortion were the two big issues. But in a general election, at least on election night, Susan Arbetter on Spectrum was saying that climate Ashley finished second as the most important issue for the voters on Election Day. That was not something especially that Hochul and many Democrats were running on. So in the last 20 seconds, what's your hopes for climate next year?
Well, I think it's from the Democrats control New York State. If they're looking to build out their support in the suburbs, they're going to have to come up with real, meaningful, significant ways to deal with the climate crisis that the world is facing and to deal with environmental issues writ large, particularly drinking water and solid waste issues. I think all of those are issues that Democrats should really embrace and run significant proposals on, not just phony baloney reforms, but the real deal if they want to build out their support in the suburbs.
Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPIRG, NYPIRG.org, and this has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Be a long road to finding permanent homes for kids in the New York State foster care system, but many find it worthwhile. Megan Batista is a Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiter who saw this in Mariah, a child in a temporary foster home that wasn't on the path to permanency. Batista knew Mariah was longing to settle past traumas and knew finding her a mentor was the best thing to do. The hope was to have someone who could work with Mariah on her goals and guide her in navigating certain challenges. She found a mentor in colleague Emily Keneally. After a while, Keneally decided to adopt Mariah. Batista says this wasn't always the plan, but she had an idea it might happen.
I think that you can tell when a resource is ready to be permanency when they start to like be really concerned about wherever that kid is. So I think there were some things that came up where she was like, I'm just really worried. I want to make sure Mariah is getting the best, when she was like not going to be a placement for them.
Keneally went from mentor to mother. She and her husband John became certified foster parents to do respite for Mariah and adopted her after a placement fell apart. Batista feels that while Mariah is unique, her circumstances aren't. She says it can be easy to not want to rock the boat when placing an older kid, especially when they're not eager to be in a certain placement. It was an interesting experience for Keneally to be on a different end of the foster care spectrum. Although she's worked in child welfare for many years, this was quite a different experience. But after getting to know and later adopting her, Keneally notes Mariah has changed for the better since they first met.
After being adopted, she can finally dream of the future. She knows that she has a safety net and people that care about her and that she can lean on no matter what. And so I think having that has really given her the opportunity to think of what her life could be and to have dreams and not have to focus on just making it through the day.
One piece of advice Keneally has for others is to manage your expectations. She says acknowledging what foster kids come from and have been through can be helpful to potential foster parents. She's learned that things may not go the way a parent plans, but it is still likely to turn out all right. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Wednesday, November 16th. We start off each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Stewart's Shop in Caro has gas for $3.99 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 32 in the good range for Wednesday and similar to Tuesday. The UV index is a 1. That's as low as it can get. And that's because the skies should be cloudy on Wednesday, as rain, snow, and freezing rain is all possible. It's going to get up to 41 degrees, so most of that will be rain, but there'll be some snow in the morning, and there's an 80% chance of precipitation of some sort falling where you live. Wednesday night, there's only a 20% chance, and mostly it's going to be in the form of snow showers between 1 and 2 a.m., cloudy skies and a low around 28, and a west wind around 7 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday, there's a chance of snow showers in the morning. Then it turns sunny with a high of 40, and a west wind 7 to 13 miles per hour with gusts as high as 23 miles per hour for those windmills. Thursday night should be cloudy with a low around 23, and then Friday should be sunny, good for the solar panels, with a high of 36 and a low around 20. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
The spell is broken.
spell is broken.
Next, we hear 2022 new music from Chris Forsythe. The song is a cover of Richard and Linda Thompson's You're Going to Need Somebody from the 2022 album Evolution, Here We Come.